DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Nick Wright's new cologne, Fragrance de LeBron. Have that special someone who you miss dearly 24/7? Do you long for their musk? Well, guess what? Now you can smell just like them with Fragrance de LeBron, coming to a store near you.
Look, I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just trying to spend the night with it, yeah. I just want to be all right with it, yeah.
So this has been like a really quiet week for the NBA. I guess there's been the Team USA basketball stuff, but by and large, there hasn't really been a whole heck of a lot going on. I know the Clippers introduced Kawhi and Paul George on Wednesday, but outside of that, Matt, this is, I mean, I get that we're, you know, free agency's done pretty much and everything, but it's just strange given how it was so noisy just like 3 days ago, it seems like.
Yeah, we got off to a pretty fast start, and then typically this is what happens. There's been a couple, you know, moves here and there. I just saw Paul Gasol get signed today, but I didn't even know if he was still really healthy. I think he's still recovering, right?
Yeah, and I guess he's like, you know, he's feeling good. I remember when free agency first started, Woj was tweeting something about how, like, how he wants to make a return and blah, blah, blah. It seemed a little weird. And I think Jakar Sampson from Chicago, I think he signed with the Pacers. I saw something about that too. So yeah, but just a couple moves here and there. Nothing crazy is really going on. But that sets up for us to finally get to, you know, where we see the Eastern Conference lining up. We're going to do that with the Western Conference too, probably next week, even though USA Basketball, we haven't practiced and things like that. If you're new to the show, this is Five Out. I'm Nick Fryer, WEI.com. That other voice you hear is Matt Medeiros, my co-host, longtime teammate, former college player, 1,000-point scorer, all that crap. So today, we've been getting ready actually for I mean, you've been ready for this, what, since the first episode, pretty much?
Oh, I've been ready. I have my notes right here. I did a lot of research. Just wanted to be – I like being prepared. I think it's fun for me looking this stuff up and just talking hoops and breaking down every team. It's pretty fun. It's going to be a fun NBA year.
Yo, for sure. It's going to be – I mean, I would say the Eastern Conference is a little bit more – not top-heavy, but it's more favorable towards one team, whereas the Western Conference has been kind of more the case the past few years. And now it's – I mean, it's completely wide open at this point. So do we want to start with – we probably should have talked about this beforehand, but do we want to start – we want to start from the bottom, right?
Yeah, we can start from the bottom. You want me to tell you the teams that are not in my top 10?
Sure.
Because I did the way I kind of broke it down was I did the top eight, and then I kind of had like 9, 10 kind of maybe teams that could you know, I could see maybe sliding in and sneaking into that eight spot.
Okay.
So obviously the worst team in the league by looking by roster is the Cavs. They suck. I feel bad.
I didn't see that coming.
Sorry for the Cleveland fans. It's a waste of a year. They're terrible.
Again.
But they got John Beilein. I like John Beilein. He was a good college coach. I don't know how it'll translate in the NBA. Coming at number 14 is good old Terry Rozier and those Hornets. good luck scoring 20 points a game. You know, he's going to have a great statistical year and they'll suck. You know, that's what he wants.
Will he be an all-star this year? Because part of me thinks that there's a small chance he is.
I will throw up if he becomes an all-star.
I mean, he's going to put up the stupid numbers and he's going to have Charlotte backing him, right?
I know, but they suck. They shouldn't. If your team sucks, you shouldn't be an all-star. I'm sorry.
That's pretty
fair. That's harsh, but. It's not 13, I got the New York Knicks. They're next on the shitty teams that we got. Number 12 is the Bulls, but I am kind of intrigued by the Bulls. I like some of the pieces they got. We've talked about your boy.
Kobe White, of course.
Who could be the next stud there at point guard. But I like they got some young, big pieces too. Number 11,
Before you go to your number 11, when I was making my list, I didn't go and rank the bottom teams.
Yeah.
But I did look at it and say – the team, you know, I have a team that I think could climb the rankings very easily, and I have one team that could definitely drop off significantly. Everybody pretty much can move one or two spots. You would think, you know, that our top team won't. But I did have one team that I want to see somehow squeak into the top eight, and it is the Bulls. Obviously, I like Kobe White a lot, but they add Thad. They add, I mean, Satoransky, whatever. But I like Markkanen. I just wonder what's going to happen at that point guard position because now you got, what, four guys. You got Dunn. You got LaVine. You have Kobe White. You have a
log jam.
You lose Samson, who's, I mean, he was one of their better scorers last year. I like Gafford, too. I don't think he's going to do much this year, but watching him in the summer league, dude, that guy's a freak. And they lost Robin Lopez. But anyways, continue.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think they do have a logjam there, but I think Kobe White and LaVine could play well off each other in the backcourt. So I went next to 11. I didn't spend much time. Wizards, I have them there outside the bubble. I'm rooting for Isaiah Thomas on that squad, but
for sure.
I think without, you know, I just think they're in that awkward spot where you're kind of like a middle dwelling team in the NBA where you get like, you know, a 15th pick. It's kind of like being in purgatory in the NBA, being in that, you know, space. Not being the worst, but like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then we get into my top 10. This is a team that I'm very intrigued in. I have them at number 10, but I could easily see them maybe sliding up to 9, possibly making the playoffs. I don't think, though, yet. I don't think they're ready to make that jump, but I got the Atlanta Hawks at 10. I'm very intrigued by this team. I love who they drafted this year because I think Cam Reddish, because I think he went like 8 or 9. Like, I think he dropped, and I get it. He there was a lot of criticism at Duke. I don't think he had a good year. I think he could have benefited to staying at Duke, but I think he has the most potential with that group he was with, Zion, RJ Barrett. Like, Cam Reddish has all the tools. I don't know what wasn't clicking when he was at Duke, but he's got all the potential. I mean, it could end up being a bust, but.
And he came in as, I think, a higher-ranked prospect than both Barrett and Williamson, if I remember correctly. So, I mean, you're right. He's got all the tools, and he's just – I think upstairs is the biggest issue with him.
I think he's legit.
Oh, he is. But we've seen it with guys. If you can't put it together on the floor, like mentally, then your athletic ability isn't going to do anything for you.
Correct. No, that's correct. And then the other guy who I like even more than Cam Reddish is DeAndre Hunter. I was a big Virginia fan this year. I watched a lot of their games. I really like how he plays on both ends of the floor. I think he's just an NBA player. And then, obviously, I love Trae Young.
Who doesn't?
He's not as good as Steph Curry, but I do like the way he plays. I wasn't a fan of him at when he was in college.
Oklahoma?
Yeah, Oklahoma. Thank you. I had a brain cramp there. But I wasn't a huge fan of him. I don't know why. But like when I watched him this past year, I was like, he was pretty impressive at times. I like him.
You know what I was most surprised by with him too is that, well, this is not so much his season as 2K giving him a lot of love. He ended up getting an 85 rating, same rating as Jason Tatum.
That's a little too much.
I know Trae Young had a really good year last year and he was a candidate for Rookie of the Year, and obviously Luka won it. But Jason Tatum, his numbers improved, but he definitely had a down year for what everybody else expected. But, I mean, I can't look at Trae Young and say that his game is better than Jason Tatum's at this point. And he just, I mean, alone on the height limitation makes a huge difference for him.
Yeah, so they got Evan Turner. Evan Turner is with the Hawks. So I think he's a good role player in that system. I love John Collins. He's a rising star, I think, on that team. They actually got Jabari Parker. Do you know that?
Yeah, I did know that. That kind of
fell under my radar. I feel bad for him because I thought even at Duke, even his first year, until that first ACL, man, it's been downhill from there. But I thought he could play. I hope
him
he can.
And Wiggins, dude, the two guys. I remember when they were in college. I mean, we were, I think, in college at the same time as them, and they were the next. Both of them were like the next big thing. It was a matter of who was going to be first overall and everything. And I saw Wiggins playing actually the other day. Pickup. I forget who he was playing against, but he was roasting somebody.
Oh yeah, you remember who he was roasting? I'm glad you brought this up.
Who was it?
Oh, do you want me to tell you who he was roasting? Because it was a great video. I'm so happy you posted it.
I do.
It was my boy Ben Simmons.
That's right. It was Ben Simmons. That's right. He was roasting his ass.
Oh, I was so happy. What a scrub. Oh, God, yeah. There's $170 million. Can't check anybody. And then they had the video of him shooting jump shots. He hit two shots. Congrats. Oh,
God, dude. Yeah, you can't.
He hit two elbow jump shots. I can wake up and do that.
I'm sorry. I know it's pickup basketball, but look, Andrew Wiggins, I would love to see him kind of take that next step forward, but freaking, you're getting roasted by Ben Simmons. You're getting roasted by him. If I'm the management, I'm just looking at it thinking, Jesus, we just put $175 million to this guy. God.
So to end the Hawks thing, my question about their team, can they take that next step defensively? They were pretty bad defensively. I think they were like, it's either them or Phoenix Suns was the worst. It was pretty close, like being the worst defensive team. So if they can take that next step being a better defensive team, I think that they can obviously improve their record because they can score. There's no doubt about that. They can score the ball. They got to be able to defend. So at nine, I have the sitting right outside is the Orlando Magic. I know they made the playoffs last year. They didn't really have any key departures. No one really left. They added Aminu. Who's a solid NBA player.
He's a good defensive player. I mean, he's limited, but I mean,
yeah. I mean, they kind of, my question about them is, I think they overpaid for Vucevic, even though I like his game, but I think they overpaid for him and Terrence Ross. I don't know. I look at their roster. They didn't really get better from last year. I mean, they have the same guys. If they can continue to grow, I don't know how. You know, can Gordon get any better? Can Isaac get any better? Like they have guys who have, you know, potential to grow, but I don't know. I just don't see them. My question is, because you know who the coach is, right? It's Steve Clifford, I believe. He coached the Hornets. And now my question to them is, are the Magic the new Hornets? Because when Steve Clifford took over the Clippers, he improved them. They made the playoffs for the first time in I don't even know how long. And then and then after that, they went on that drought, and that's, you know, pretty much where they've been. The Hornets have been in, you know, 9th, 10th, 11th place the last 4 years. And now the Magic, they hadn't made the playoffs in a while, and now they finally made it back under Steve Clifford. But now do they just go back in that same trend? I don't know. I didn't think they made enough moves. I know they re-signed this, and they brought the same team back, but I just didn't really think that team was that great. I mean, they were the 7th seed in a bad East.
The thing is that, but I mean, you look at the East now, I mean, as much as there is kind of balanced and you have that one team above everybody else, I would say the East is worse than it was last year. So right now, I actually have them as my number 8 team, but they're the team that I could easily see slipping out too. Well, I think my 7 team could somehow find a way to slip out too if things go sideways. But I mean, I look at them and it's, you know, they're a solid team. They were able to hang with the good teams in the league last year. I know they gave the Celtics fits, which was still a bit of a head scratcher.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true.
That's also the Celtics' problem too. But when I mean, Vucevic is a good player and Ross is too. I think, you know, you add Aminu. I mean, it's not this game changing move, but he's a good defensive player. He's a wing. He's going to help you out with that. Like, I mean, that's a huge piece to have right now.
Yeah, I think they have a lot of good length. Isaac is long as hell. They got Mo Bamba. Like, they got
they
good.
Have
I think Mo Bamba, they
the
what
team.
They were. Yeah, they have a good defensive team. They just don't score enough, and I think it was kind of emphasized in that playoff series against Toronto. I know they beat them in game one, but you know, I think Toronto just played really bad or whatever. But after that in the series, I'm like, you know, Orlando would hang around, but then they would go on these droughts where they, you know, they Raptors would go on a 12-0 run, 13-0 run, and it's because the Magic couldn't just score. They couldn't hit shots, outside perimeter shots. So that's kind of to me where that
downfall. The Wizards are in like a bad spot because they're not a bad team, but they're not a good team either.
Correct.
I would honestly argue that the Magic are in a bit of a worse spot. Although, you know,
I'd agree.
The Wizards, as much as they, I mean, they do have their two stars, and you're not getting much out of those two stars, assuming they don't make the playoffs. That's brutal. That can't happen. But when you have, when you're in an 8-seed spot, you're not going to be lottery eligible and all that stuff. I mean, you're pretty much just circling the drain at this point, and you just got to hope that, I don't know, you're in Orlando, are you going to get a big name to come there? I mean, I guess guys go to Miami, but I don't know if Orlando has that same
goal. No, not really. Yeah. They didn't really get anybody this year, that's for sure.
I can't remember that ever happening, so.
All right, we can move on. We'll go to number 8. For my 8 team, who did you have first? Who did you have?
I had the Magic.
Okay, so we just, okay. Yeah. So I have the Pistons at number 8.
Yeah, that would be my 9. I want the Bulls to leapfrog both of them, but I think Pistons make most sense.
The reason I put the Pistons at 8, I just, as much as sometimes I don't really like Blake Griffin, I still think he's good enough to lead that team into a, you know, a 7-8 spot in the East. They made a couple key additions. They got Derrick Rose, they got Markieff Morris, and they only really lost Ish Smith.
Yeah, it's getting deep.
I mean, I've never liked Reggie.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't really like Reggie Jackson.
That's, I understand.
So
that.
I hope D-Rose.
But getting deep.
D-Rose can take those minutes.
The thing about D-Rose that blows my mind is just like, I mean, again, another guy, he got an 80 on 2K. I never thought I'd see that day after everything that happened to him early on. Is it fair?
No.
Yeah, I may be a little bit generous, but he's clearly back in some capacity and reinvented himself, I guess is a better way to say it. And adding him. Yeah. A year ago, 2 years ago, I would have said, okay, whatever, it's cool, good for D-Rose, he's still playing. But, yeah, I could see him making an impact enough where maybe they do, you know, surpass the Magic a little bit. But, again, they're kind of in that same situation where it's like they're good, but they're not going to go and make a playoff run. I mean, it just doesn't happen in the NBA like this. In the NHL, I'd be stunned if something like that happened with the Pistons.
No. Yeah, especially with this team. I mean, just looking up, they got some young guys who have potential that, you know, could hit or miss, like Luke Kennard from Duke. He's been in the league a couple of years. Bruce Brown. He's actually a Wakefield Mass guy.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's a Mass guy. And adding Morris. Griffin, I mean, my question about Griffin is he is coming back. I don't know what he's going to be like. He had that knee surgery.
Yeah.
Andre Drummond is who he is. Like, he's a solid big, but he can't shoot. And they have Don Maker, who they got last year in that trade. So, I mean, to me, it's like you said, are they just like, are the Pistons just biding time? That's what it kind of feels like to me.
Yeah,
like,
what are they biding time for? I mean, and adding Markieff Morris is good at too.
But I'm saying keeping Blake, it's almost like you're just biding time. You're not really building around him. So it's like,
yeah, that's the tough thing about Blake Griffin is he's one of those guys who commands a ton of money, but he's not worth what he gets paid. I'm sorry.
Correct.
I mean, maybe in terms of the ad revenue and all that stuff, and the fans love him, but in terms of winning ball games. Yeah, he's helpful, but he's not a number one.
He's not getting you over the top.
And, yeah, he's not getting over the top. And I mean, in this league now, I mean, would you say he's number two? I mean, I guess he kind of is still, but you got to have a damn good three if you're going to do that. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely.
So
definitely.
I'll go to my 17 then. I'm willing to bet we have the same 17, the Miami Heat.
Yes, 7 yeah. is Heat. Yep.
I feel like I feel like that one's one of the more obvious ones. So obviously they got Jimmy Butler, they drafted Tyler Hero. They still have Dragic, they have Adebayo, they have Justice Winslow still. They got rid of Whiteside. Obviously that's how they got Myers Leonard. No Dwayne Wade
Richardson.
Anymore. No Richardson anymore.
I mean, what I like about this team and what they've been really good at under Spoelstra is that they're a great defensive team. At least, and every time I've seen the Celtics play, they really play a great defense. Now adding Jimmy Butler, and that's why I think Jimmy Butler is a perfect fit under that system because he's a rough rider. You know, he'll muck it up on D.
The only issue with Jimmy Butler always is his freaking head. I mean, he's a nut. How is that?
Yeah, but at least that's true. That's true. Spoelstra's, I mean,
the
he
kind
is
of guy who
like
seems like he can handle a bit of an ego for sure. But
yeah.
I don't know if that's just what it is with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I mean, I like Dragic. I like Dion Waiters. They come in both back off injuries. They got that dude that he's not really a hooper, but like he can jump out the gym. That dude, Derrick Jones.
Yep.
Junior, that dude can fly.
Mm-hmm.
I hope my man Duncan Robinson gets on the team. I'd like to see that.
That would be nice.
My question is like, is Adebayo, like, is this is are they by moving Whiteside, I think they're banking on Adebayo having like a breakout season. That's what that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I know. I remember I was reading something the other day where they're high on him. They didn't want to include him in any trade talks or anything like that. So they got to be thinking that he's going to take that next step forward. I mean, I don't know if that's too big of an ask at this point from him, but
yeah.
I would say it's reasonable for them to expect that. I don't know if they're right, but you got to you got to gamble on some guys here and there at this point, right?
Yeah, I think they're. I mean, I think they're a solid team. I don't think they're really a contender. But you know, if you match up with them in the first round, I think they'll give you a decent series. Like, because again, they'll play defense.
And they're a team that could make that midseason add where they go after Chris Paul. I don't know if that's necessarily going to help them out a ton, but that's the rumor that's been
circulating. It'd bump them up a little bit more.
Yeah, but I mean, for them, they're in a similar spot to the Magic and the Pistons. I would say they're a little bit more on the rise because they added Butler, but you go and add Chris Paul, it's going to bring you up a little bit, but I mean, I look at the rest of these teams right now, and even my sixth team, I feel like, is quite a bit ahead of them, and my sixth team is actually my team that has the most potential to rise from where they are, and I have the Pacers at number six right now.
Okay.
Do you have the same
team? No, I don't have the Pacers at six. I have them higher.
Okay.
I have the Raptors at six. And the reason I have the Raptors at six, again, they didn't really add anybody. They lost Kawhi and Danny Green.
That's huge.
You know, they still have a decent team. Like, I like Van Fleet. I'm not a huge Kyle Lowry guy, but he is who he is. He's a solid NBA player, point guard. Norman, and they got guys who are just, you know, who can play. Like, Norman Powell's pretty solid. Obviously, Siakam is going to continue to grow. And they got Gasol and Ibaka. Well, the reason I have him at six, go ahead.
Gasol is not someone I would rely on coming into this year. I could see why you would bump him at
this,
six.
And this is the reason I have them at six. And my question about this team is, do they keep their roster throughout the season?
Oh.
Because now that you won your championship, right? Mm-hmm. Kawhi leaves. Now it's almost time to rebuild. I mean, I think it's kind of rebuild mode for them. I would think. That's why I have them at six. I for some reason, I don't think this is the roster you're going to see at the end of the year. I think they'll be in sell mode
at some
point.
That's a fair point. I think the only – I mean, you look at the roster and who's untouchable at this point. Siakam. And
– yeah, Siakam is untouchable. I don't think Van Fleet's untouchable. I think anybody in their roster should be able to move. I don't know if they'll – I don't know who they would – like, do they trade Kyle Lowry at this point because he's been a lifer up there? But
I don't think that's going to matter for them. I think Lowry may be the number one guy who moves. I mean, I think him and Ibaka are their most valuable commodities still
valuable.
At this point.
Yeah.
Siakam is their most valuable commodity, but he's the one guy they won't move. I can't imagine him going. I have to pay – I have the Pacers at six, but – of all the teams I have on this list, they are the one that I could see climbing the most. I could see them somehow weaseling their way into the third spot, especially if my number two team drops down, because they're my team that's the easiest to drop off. But the Pacers obviously get Vic back. But the thing is that I just don't know that Oladipo is going to come back and be the guy he was last year. I'm not convinced of it. If he is, then this team is comfortably the fourth best team in the East, no questions asked, maybe better than that, maybe even sliding into the 2-3 range. But he's the biggest thing right now. Obviously, they have Turner still. They have Sabonis. They lost Bogdanovich. They lost Thad Young. They added Brogdon and Lamb. And adding Sampson's a nice little add, but I mean, I just had that because I saw that today. But I think that they are a very good team. I just don't know where they are without Vic, and we saw what they look like without him last year. As much as you add Brogdon now, I think Brogdon's a very good player, but he's not going to take you to that same level that Victor Oladipo can when he's healthy.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I have the Pacers at four. They're my fourth best team, so I'll talk a little bit about them on my end. I think some additions that they made were that I liked. They brought in Brogdon, obviously Jeremy Lamb, offensive player. I love TJ Warren from the Suns that they brought in. Mm-hmm. They also brought in another Holiday brother, so they got Justin Holiday and Aaron now.
Yep, that's right.
I mean, they did lose six of their top eight players from the 2019 play, like in regards to how many minutes they played in the playoffs. So six of their top eight guys from last year are gone.
That's
so
huge.
It is huge. My question about them again: one is like you, Vic. How does he come back from the injury? I want to say like I love Oladipo, so I think he's going to come back strong, man. That dude just determined. So But it is a question mark. My other question mark about Brogdon is his durability. Brogdon's always hurt, I feel like.
Yeah, that is true.
Brogdon's always dealing with something. So what's his durability like? And my biggest question, I read this stat, that can Sabonis and Turner play together? Because they're one of the worst two, like, on the floor at the same time.
Really?
Yeah, like, really bad. And what I think they're trying to do, they're trying to turn Turner into a, even though you posted that video and he had a great post move. Remember that video you posted? That was
I remember that. Oh, yeah.
But I heard that they're trying to play him more as a stretch four. And you can't have him and Sabonis, because Sabonis, to me, is a stretch four.
Right.
I think Turner needs, like, in that video, if he can do that, like, that's what they need him to do. Especially if him and Sabonis are going to coexist. They can't have two, four stretch. Then you're playing five out. You need that Turner, that post inside presence.
We're all about five out here. I mean, the thing is that in all seriousness, we're not about it, but everybody else in the NBA, everybody in the NBA is. Like, they're all about five out. Everybody's got to be able to stretch it out. And I think it's good that Turner has that in his arsenal when Sabonis isn't on the floor. But
correct.
I agree with you. I'd like to have a guy who can bang down low a little bit or be quick. And he looked freaking great today. He was moving like it was – like he was a freaking guard.
But I think you made a great point in the sense that, that's good for Turner to develop that game when he is the, like, if that's his role on the floor, if Sabonis is out, if he has to be the one that stretches it, then he can stretch it. But if you're playing already with a guy that, because I don't know, I don't know if Sabonis can bang down there like that. I don't think that's his game. Like, he's good at playing.
I don't think so.
At least at the high post. So Turner needs to be able to be flexible at both. But I like what they brought. Like, Ty Warren, I think he's going to do great in that system. That dude can score. They brought in guys that can score, Jeremy Lamb, so they're gonna be able to score. So I like them at number four.
I have two issues with this. So one, I'd love to see Victor Oladipo come back and be what he was last year or close to what he was. And where you could say, well, it's a different situation than Gordon Hayward, where he was getting back in a system with a bunch of stars and he wasn't ever the guy on that team because it was still Kyrie and Tatum had kind of weaseled his way into borderline number two wherever Hayward came back. But when I look at the Pacers, obviously Oladipo, he's their guy. He is that everything's centered around him. However, we saw what happened to Paul George. He was the guy still in Indiana when he came back. He wasn't the same guy right away. So I don't look at it, and I don't think it's necessarily going to be a matter of opportunity. I just think that he had a pretty serious injury. Now, I'm no doctor. It seems serious. If it's not as bad as we think it is, then then maybe he ends up being fine and he bounces back much quicker than the other two guys did, and it was a bad comp. That's what it comes down to. But my other thing is, you have a lot of question marks with this team.
I do.
Listed off more than I did, and I'm surprised you have them at four, given how many. I think their potential is past four, but with
correct. But that's why I have them at four. That's why I have them at four. You're right. I did have a lot of questions, but I have a lot of questions about the top teams because I thought more about them. But
I
like their pieces. I like their piece. I do have question marks, and I could easily see them at six, but I just like them at four because at number five, my team's the Nets. So who do you have at number five?
So I have five. So we went over the Raptors already. No big deal. We already went over your number four as well. My number four is actually the Nets right now because you have pretty much the same team coming back. You add DeAndre Jordan. You add Kyrie Irving. I think expecting them to be four when they were, was it six last year? Is that right?
Yes.
So they were six last year. You add Kyrie. He's better than D'Lo. I understand chemistry is important. But I think that when you look at this team now, obviously no KD, they should be better than four. But they have question marks because I don't know how Kyrie's going to handle all these young guys.
Exactly. That was my number one question. That's why I have him at five. Can Kyrie run a team? I have no idea. Durant's not going to be there. I think Durant would have to be the alpha on this team because clearly Kyrie can't. And most of these guys are young guys that they except for like DeAndre. And maybe Dinwiddie. I don't know what the age of Dinwiddie is. But Joe Harris is still a young guy. LaVert. My other question is, can LaVert be that, I put third star, but can he be the second star now that Durant's not there for majority of the season or he might not play at all? But can LaVert make that jump? Because right now, to me, it's just Kyrie. It's just Kyrie on a worse team than he was on last year. Like, the Celtics team had way more talent than this group does here. And I don't know. Maybe Kyrie flourishes better with less talent around him. I don't know. I just see them at five.
Help. I think there were probably so many mouths to feed, so many guys who thought they deserved something, and some of them did. And then there were other issues, too, that we've all heard about plenty. I think that will help Kyrie. And, you know, not that he's a big ad by any stretch, but they have Wilson Chandler, too. Having that other veteran guy who's been around a long time, DeAndre Jordan's been around a long time, so he has his older guys that are with him, too. I got to imagine that that makes a difference for him. But even then, at number four, I don't feel like they're a strong number four. I feel like they could get knocked off by whether they face the Pacers or the Pacers. I could see them getting knocked off in the first round because I just don't look at them and say this is a awesome team. But the big thing with them this year, of course, is can they at least be reasonably good without Kevin Durant? Because if they're not, you have to imagine there's going to be some drama. And then what's that going to look like when KD gets back? We're all assuming at least at this point. Yeah. So you have the Pacers as your four. So 2 and 3, I think, is the most debated one at this point.
Correct.
Who do you have at three?
So I went, I'm a Celtics fan, so I was trying to be unbiased. I put the Celtics at three for now.
Okay.
I think the Celtics have the potential to be the best team in the East by far, but because I like their roster, and I like the draft picks they made. I think they have, I personally think they have the best, and I don't want to say just backcourt because it is, because I broke it down by guards, wings, and forwards, because that's what the NBA is. I think they have the best guards and wings than anybody in the East, like depth wise, everything. Because you think you got Tatum, Brown, Hayward, Kemba, Smart right off the bat, it's like five. There's no team in the East that has that. Level of guard play.
I agree.
Obviously the questions are to me, what is Brown and Tatum's progress into this year? Do they continue to develop, or they take another step back, or do they slide like they kind of did last year? They didn't really go forward or backwards. They kind of stay the same.
Right.
To me, because again, Tatum, people said Tatum took a step back. I don't think he took a step back. He just was around a lot more talent, so he didn't get the opportunity. But they're going to get the opportunity. And then my biggest thing is Gordon. Like, if Gordon Hayward, a lot of people are sleeping on him, and I've been getting some heat saying that I like Gordon too much. But like, I'm pulling for the guy because I think what he went through sucked, and then he had to deal with all the BS from last year's team. So I'm just hoping he comes back and he looks like the old Gordon Hayward. And if that happens, I'm telling you, I think they could be dangerous.
So they're actually my number two team right now, but they're also, like I said before, my number two team is a team that's most prone to sliding significantly at this point. All these teams, they could, you know, go up one or two, or you know, I would say up one or down one. With the exception of the Bucks, I would be stunned if they dropped off to two. I think the Celtics do have potential to be one of the forces in the East, no questions asked. That's why I have them there. But I don't know. I just think with the Bucks, now that they have some level of experience, you have Giannis, who's, you know, without KD there, he's the best player in the East. And I do think that I think Tatum, I know I was critical of Brown in the first half of last year, but I do think he took it, like him being able to get back to where he was in the second half of the season, to me, is progress, because you dealt with that adversity, you dealt with that frustration, and then you bounced back and you kind of became what you were beforehand. With Tatum, I have a hard time imagining he does not progress, because, like you said, it's too many mouths to feed last year. As ridiculous as it sounds, they couldn't get it to work, taking away a lot of those guys, and then you just bring in Cantor and Kemba. I would think that will help his scoring. And then Hayward's, I agree with you on Hayward. Those two guys, I think, are getting slept on the most. Whenever we hear the talking heads or anybody else writing about it, it just seems like every time it's, you know, what's, you know, the Celtics are going to be the four team. Maybe they'll be the three team. And I know you have them as a three team, but it's like, maybe. How can you say that they're not easily the third team in the East right now? To me, they're a lock top three team at this point, because you lose Kyrie, you get Kemba. Not a wash, but not a huge drop off. And then if chemistry does end up taking progressing, I would think Kemba has something to do with that. And then you have Tatum, who there's no shot in hell he's going to be worse than last year. I just cannot imagine it now, having the experience that he has and having a little bit more freedom. And then same with Hayward. He's a year healthier. He has more confidence back. So, yeah, the big issue with them right now is their front court.
I was going to say that. My last point was rim protection. Losing Baines and Horford, that's where you're going to feel it the most. So if they can plug it in with Cannon, Robert Williams, you know, Tice, Grant Williams, like those guys are just gonna, they're just gonna have to find a way. But I'm with you. I think they're a lock top three. I just put them at three because my number two team was the Sixers, and the reason I'm putting the Sixers there is because as much as I do hate on Ben Simmons, and I really just don't like Philly. I don't like any Philly teams. they are the number two. They were, you know, four bounces away from going to the Eastern Conference Finals and knocking off the Raptors. So I'll give credit where credit's due. They added Al Horford. They added Josh Richardson. Obviously, people do forget Butler and Redick are big losses for them.
That's huge. That, to me, that's huge. I mean, like, that's getting Horford, not only do you get a good defensive player, you get the guy who would stop Embiid, so that's great. But you lose two huge offensive pieces. Butler was a huge defensive piece, too. I mean, and JJ, it's not like that's your shooter right there. You're going to lose that guy now, and you get Josh Richardson.
They don't have a shooter now. I mean, Josh Richardson is solid, but he's not like a spot-up three. Like, I thought JJ created a lot of good offense for Embiid, you know?
Yeah, he's not JJ. JJ stretches it out like very few people do. I mean, and he's gotten so much better with age, too. It's really weird how he did that.
And they used to run a really good two-man game with JJ and Embiid because JJ would come off those screens, and you got to – you know, most guys are either trying to switch or they're trying to run him off, and that switches up and gives Embiid. And I thought Embiid got a lot of easy baskets off that. My biggest question to them is
anymore. I mean, that's why I look at it and say, yeah, maybe they got better defensively. I mean, you lose Butler still, but offensively, I feel like they took a step back. As much as Horford is a solid, you know, he's a solid outside shooter, I would say at best. And he's a, you know, decent offensive player. He's not this guy we saw in Boston a ton. He doesn't take over games unless it's like absolutely necessary. He really doesn't want to do that, and that's fine. But on this team, when you lose JJ and you lose Jimmy Butler, you kind of need someone to fill that void a little bit. And is Tobias Harris going to be the one that does it?
No. I think there's a lot of expectations on them. I don't, you know, if I had to put money on them being number two, no. I probably wouldn't say they'd two, but I'm just going to give them, you know, credit where credit's due. My two biggest questions about them is how do they generate late game offense? Like I don't know who their is it the Embiid? Obviously is their go to guy, but I don't know. I just haven't seen it. Like last year, if you would have asked me who their go to guy was late, it's Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how do they generate late game offense? Like I don't know who their go to or you know what's their best offensive play. But
it's
Can they hit consistent perimeter shots? That is to be seen. I don't know if that's possible. But, I mean, that leads us, and we both had our number one team is the Bucks.
Before we go to the Bucks, though, like, that's, to me, the biggest, like, you know, everything aside, like, the question marks that you have with the Sixers versus the Celtics, you may have more question marks with the Celtics. But I feel like maybe it's just because I see them a little bit more, but I feel like the question marks that they have with them, like how bad it can get, I feel like is a lot less of an issue than how bad the Sixers issues can be. You know what I mean? As much as there are less of them. And I think that, and to me, that's always huge, like the gap in terms of how big a problem can become.
No, that's a very good point.
So you brought up the Bucks, moving on from that. Obviously, they lose Brogdon, they lose Mirotić. They get back Lopez. Yeah.
Why did Mirotić leave? He isn't making more money overseas, is he?
I don't know.
I think he's just still afraid that Bobby Portis might come over and punch him in the face again. I'm telling you, like, why did he leave the NBA? I still don't understand that. Why? Because you want to go play in Spain, bro? You don't want to make money? He's soft.
His
face punched in by someone at practice. That is just great. So you just know. Yeah, either Bobby Portis is a bad dude, or Mirotić is just, you don't get punched and have your face broken in practice in the NBA. They don't practice that hard. Come on.
No shot in hell. But I mean, even then, he doesn't have to worry about Portis anymore. He's in freaking New York. You're in Milwaukee. Instead, they now have Wes Matthews, and then they go and add Robin Lopez as well. Obviously, you still have George Hill. You have Giannis. I mean, you're returning a lot of the same guys. Brogdon is a big loss. Mirotić, to me, yeah, he was a good player, but whatever. But you played without Brogdon for a lot of last season. The Raptors were the number one team. They've dropped off a ton, and I don't think anybody else has taken that step forward. I know you said the Celtics are one, and I think that there is reason to think they could climb that high, but I just think that it's the more I look at it, I think it's a little bit of a reach to think that they could surpass the Bucks at this stage.
Well, I mean, they're one because they have the best player in the East. Giannis is the best player in the East.
No questions asked.
My only question about them is, does Giannis have to do more to get over the top? Which means to do more as in, like, does he have to be able to shoot from the print? Like, does he have to be able to score in all three phases of the game? And I think he does. If you want, I personally think if they want to get over the top, he has to be a better threat offensively, not just dominating the paint like he already does and getting to the rim. But, like, he's got to be – you got to score at all three levels, I personally think, to get over the top.
Man,
I've seen Semi Ojeleye stop him or slow him down. So unless you can create some other offense, that's going to happen in the playoffs. Someone's going to slow you down.
Yeah. That's another thing we didn't bring up in the Celtics, too. That's another question mark. It's not as pressing, but if he can go and – Robert Williams is another guy, too. If he can go and do what he's – we believe he's capable of defensively, that would be huge. And then if Semi can do it, but Semi needs to take a step forward offensively because he's good on defense, but I wouldn't say he's good enough to make up for his offensive deficiencies at this point to have him on the floor for a substantial amount of time. But with Giannis, you know, obviously we saw him working out with Korver, which we posted that video on the Twitter account, at 5OutPod, same for Instagram too. You know, like, if he can go and become a three-point shooter, like I'm talking... I'd say 32%. If he can go and do that, then be like consistent with it, not just like one day he's hitting a bunch and then one day he's like off. Like be a reasonable threat night in and night out to at least hit one or two. I mean, that changes everything for the Bucks. It's such a small thing, but I feel like it makes a huge difference.
No, I mean, I would agree with that. The other question I have about them is, do their younger guards have to do more? Like, and maybe not younger is the word, or just guards in general. Like, I'm not a huge Bledsoe guy.
I forgot about Bledsoe.
George Hill is kind of over the hill for me. They got Wesley Matthews, but he's kind of been on down. I like Dante from Villanova, DiVincenzo. Okay. I like him. I don't know how much he played last year though. And obviously Chris Middleton's a good second tier guy. And Pat Connaughton.
How did I not bring up either of those?
Come on, that's a mass product.
That's right. I know, but Middleton's the other one too that they signed back, of course, or extended. Middleton is obviously their number two guy. I mean, that's a huge piece too.
I wonder if they have to step up more because to help Giannis out. That would be my only question about them being up there.
Yeah. So, right now to run through it real quick, I have the Bucks, Celtics, Sixers, Nets, Raptors, Pacers, Heat, and then the Magic, and your top eight is?
So I got the Bucks at one, I got the Sixers at two, I got the Celtics at three, I have the Pacers at four, the Nets at five, and at six I have the, where did I go after, I can't remember. Raptors six, yep. At seven I had the Heat, at eight I had the Pistons. Then my sleeper team, the Hawks.
Sleeper teams, the Hawks.
Somewhere up there.
I think that's a good sleeper. I wouldn't call the Bulls a sleeper, but they're the team that I would love to see that take that step forward and somehow eke their way into the eighth spot. I think for them, that's for where the Magic and the Heat, it doesn't mean anything. I think with the Bulls, it's a huge difference.
Yeah.
Because they're so young. So, you know, let us know what your top eight is right now as we sit in the, you know, the end of July. You can reach out to us on email at... was it 5outpodcast@gmail.com or the socials 5outpod on Instagram and Twitter. But there are a couple other things too that we wanted to hit on real quick before we get going. So Tim Duncan is now an assistant coach for the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, thank God he stopped his MMA career because I feel like that was just a midlife crisis.
I love Timmy D. I'm happy. He's a lifer. He's a Spurs lifer. When you think of the Spurs, you think of Timmy D. And I thought Popovich had a great line. Did you see that Popovich line when they asked him?
I did, but I don't have it in front of me.
So he said, it's only fitting that after I served loyally for 19 years as Tim Duncan's assistant that he'd return the favor. I like that. I love Pop. He's got good lines. I like that. But, hey, actually, I read something, too, that they actually approached Ginobili for the job before they went to Timmy D. That's what I read on Yahoo.
I did not know that, which
is kind of interesting, but... yeah, I think it's a pretty cool move. I think Timmy D will work well with the big guys on the roster, and just seeing him on the bench is just, you know, it's like the old days. Timmy D and Pop, back at it, you know. Fenestembo loves Pop, so.
Of course he does. So we have we were going to talk about Team USA, obviously, with all the ads and a lot of guys dropping out. But next week they start training camp and everything. Or is it the end of next week? I don't know when August 5th falls on the calendar. I think it does fall next week. But anyways, we'll save that for next week just because I think that's a little bit more of a loaded topic and we don't want to keep you guys too long. So last couple things. Magic Johnson is an idiot because apparently he screwed up things for the Lakers and Kawhi Leonard. I don't know, like, so basically the whole thing was that he was like the person who somehow revealed to the public initially that they were having a meeting. I guess, I don't know if he was the leak, but we heard about reports and then Magic talked about it. However it was, he somehow confirmed it then, I guess. Either way, we all knew. Like, everybody and their mother knew. Kawhi does not want what's going on to be known to the public.
Here's my argument with that, though. Is it really his fault?
Because when you have those rules set up, it is.
Yeah, why did Kawhi want to meet with Magic Johnson? Is Magic Johnson does he work for the Lakers anymore?
No, he does not work for the Lakers.
No, so this is what I'm saying. I don't think Kawhi ever wanted to go to the Lakers, to be honest. I think it was all like, there was interest or whatever, but at the end of the day, I don't think he actually was going to go. Why does he want to meet with Magic Johnson? If he wanted to go to the Lakers, why would he meet with the owners or Jeannie Buss or Palenka, whatever? Why did he go to Magic Johnson?
I think he did meet with them, but either way, why would you want to meet with Magic Johnson? Well, because you were with that organization forever. You talk about Tim Duncan being the Spurs.
And Magic probably told him how stupidly run the Lakers are.
So maybe he wanted to get the real story and have an idea of what the hell's going on.
Maybe. I'm just saying, at the end of the day, I just can't imagine that Kawhi actually even wanted to go to the Lakers now after hearing all these stories. Now they're just trying to put it on Magic, like... I don't think Magic really did that much to make him persuade. We all knew Kawhi was waiting in the wind for someone to get it. He wanted to go to the Clippers. I can't imagine Kawhi wanting to play with LeBron. I just can't. I'm happy in the end I was
glad
right.
He didn't.
Oh. Yeah, I know. I'm glad I was right about me saying there's no way he wants to play with LeBron. But I just think now these Magic stories are like trying to pin him. Like, oh, it was Magic's fault. Like, he forced... No, I just think Kawhi never wanted to go there in the first place. And why would he want to meet with Magic anyway if he really was interested in the Lakers?
I'm telling you, him meeting with Magic, to me, makes a ton of sense. Because I'm not saying you take Magic's word as gospel, but you get an idea of how well the organization's run. Are things going to go well with LeBron? Blah, blah, blah. Because as much as Magic was having his issues in the organization, it seemed like... He wanted to be able to talk to players and interact with them like, you know, he's just another vet and that's all it is. So I don't think it's unreasonable to want to meet with that guy when he kind of is semi-objective. I wouldn't say he's fully. Yeah, I'm sure he wanted to go to Lakers still. But
I just can't look at that situation and think Magic Johnson was the reason Kawhi was like, nope. He leaked our meeting, so I'm going to the Clippers now. I think he always wanted to go to the Clippers.
In fairness... If that was the only thing that set him off, then you're probably right. He didn't want to go there in the first place. Because that is just one tiny thing where it's like, eesh, jeez. I mean, anyways. Last thing. So we don't have a Basketball Genius of the Week set up for you guys this week. By all means, feel free to submit those whenever that happens. I just didn't catch anything from Nick Wright or Kellerman. I'm sure they're all getting geared up for football, but... There was nothing that came across my Twitter from any of those talking heads who just, I don't know, they just know nothing when it comes to basketball. But it was Brandon Roy's birthday earlier in the week, and for those who don't know, he is one of my favorite players ever. Obviously a guy who we didn't get to really see his full potential because his career was cut short by injuries. Was it Kobe showed him some love, right, the other day? Or that was a quote from a while back, I don't know. Either way... I saw this last week, like a what-if team. Obviously, Brandon Roy is one of those guys who you include on that list. For me, it's a no-brainer. Like, that's my number one guy who I would love to have seen his career, you know, reach its full potential, see him bring the Blazers to... Look, the Blazers are whatever to me in the grand scheme of things, but I like Lillard. I really like Brandon Roy back in the day, and I would have loved to seen him, you know, help that franchise grow even further. And everything about his game, I loved. So I'm just curious, who is your, like, what-if guy?
So it took me a while. I couldn't come up with one. I got, like, a 1A and a 1B.
Okay.
So my 1A is Penny Hardaway. I love Penny Hardaway.
It's a great one. It's a great one.
Four-time All-Star, you know, NBA first team two-time. Like, him and Shaq would just play. They were unbelievable playing together. Like, I mean, they would like the quote that maybe Shaq said, or I think it was Shaq. He was like, "Me and Penny were you know pretty much what Kobe and Shaq were. You know, they mm-hmm. it was Kobe and Shaq before Kobe and Shaq with Penny." And I just felt bad for the dude because the dude could play. And then my 1B, and I you know this guy was just a walking bucket, was T-Mac.
Oh, that's a good one, too. I love T-Mac.
Oh, yeah. T-Mac was unbelievable. I mean, back-to-back scoring titles, averaging like 32 a game, seven-time All-Star. Scored 13 points in 35 seconds to beat Timmy D and the Spurs. You remember that? That was absurd. That was like – that's got to be the most ridiculous sequence to an end of a game.
Yeah.
He was just a walking – and the fact that Kobe Bryant said he's the hardest person he's ever had a guard, that just – I think that says it all right there.
Yeah, it does say it all. And I'll tell you what, too. My first moment where I noticed T-Mac was, I forget what All-Star game, but when he threw it off the glass and
went up to himself.
He windmilled it, right?
Oh, yeah, to himself. Yeah that was awesome.
That was when I was like, is this guy?
Remember him and him and Vince Carter on the Raptors was crazy.
I don't think I was following like league-wide enough at that point to appreciate that, because I don't remember those days at all.
I
mean, that's a ridiculous combination.
I actually wrote down a few other names that I liked in the what if.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Grant Hill was really good.
Yeah, he was damn good.
He was number two for me, because I had 1A, 1B. I had two Grant Hill, and the 6 seasons he played with the Pistons before he had that really bad ankle surgery, he averaged 21, 8, and 6. Which is obviously really impressive numbers.
Yeah, I would say so. I remember when Grant Hill, when we were kids, like that dude was one of the big names. Like he was supposed, obviously coming out of college, he was a stud and everything like that. And
yeah,
I just remember stud. He fell off out of nowhere, and I just totally forgot about him for years.
I have Brandon Roy on this list, but I knew you were going to talk about him, so I didn't say his name. Then I got Greg Oden.
That's. As much as I say that about Brandon Roy, and I love him, Greg Oden's another one, man.
Yep.
I mean, same for the Blazers too. But
Yao Ming. The trend seems to be big guys. Yao Ming, he was another one. He was always injured. Bill Walton. Bill Walton was like, the dude was always hurt, but he was Hall of Fame. He's a stud. Jay Williams had that motorcycle accident. He was a stud coming out of college. And then we've already talked about
him. He's a good analyst.
Yeah, he's a great analyst. And then my last one I just put on the list, D. Rose. Man, that guy was unbelievable. Yeah. He was...
God.
I've never felt so sad for an NBA player. Like, he was incredible. He was incredible to watch. It's like my heart breaks for that poor guy.
I'm glad he's made somewhat of a comeback. I really am. But he's... I mean, yeah, dude, he was... Chicago was devastated by it, and like what I liked about him so much was that was the guy you could make the argument for against LeBron as the best player in the league. And there are guys now. Look, it's credit to LeBron. He was doing it years ago, and now he's still been in that conversation. But God, D. Rose, if he had stayed healthy, it would have been him and LeBron running things in the league, and the Bulls would have been kings. For years.
They would have.
I mean, Chicago would have been the destination. One of the destinations.
The Mecca.
Oh, man.
Chicago, but, man.
Anyways. All right. So that wraps things up. If you guys haven't already found us on iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify, you can find us there. We're also on EEI.com. We don't have our own RSS feed there right now. We will have that there shortly. But we're going to be in the Celtics talk section. And we're in the general WEI podcast section. But, you know, you guys will have multiple ways to find us. It'll be very easy. Easiest way to find all of it is if you just go follow us on Twitter at 5OutPod, on Twitter or Instagram. Again, you can email us with any questions, anything you want us to talk about, any opinions you want to weigh in on, 5OutPodcast@gmail.com. And you can find Matt on Twitter at Matt_Medeiros01 and myself at Nick_Fryer. I feel like I'm forgetting to mention something. Oh, I mentioned last week how, you know, with the ratings and the reviews on iTunes and stuff, maybe hold off on that because RSS feed switches and crap. Don't hold back on that because I found out we can switch our RSS feeds. So by all means, go ahead and review and rate away. We appreciate it very much. Anything else, Matt, before we get going?
Yeah, I just want to say shout out to everybody that's, you know, I've had a lot of people either text me or come up to me and tell me they gave the podcast a listen, they like it. appreciate you guys listening. Definitely give us feedback, stuff you want us to talk about. Either hit us up, like, again, on the email, Twitter, or Instagram. And before we sign off, just want to shout out to my man Buddha, Steve Boudreau, shot an 86 day on the golf course. He wanted me to give him a shout out on the pod, so there we go.
And 86 on the golf course warrants a shout out now?
Hey, listen, best score of all time for him, so.
Good for him. I've never shot below 90, so I can't really talk that much trash. All right, we will talk to you guys again next week.
What it do, baby?
I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it, yeah. I'm just trying to spend the night with it, yeah. I just want to be all right with it. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions. I'm just hoping for some change.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.